Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
John, how are you feeling?
I'm doing great, guys. Fired up for the season.
Hey, I had someone ask me if you were making it to Nashville for the matchup with the Texans. Will you be able to make that trip?
Yeah, I started driving Saturday with one hand. Doctor said don't drive till you can use both, but I'm just tired of not driving. I'm the only person I know who wants to get in traffic here, so I've driven, and still not a lot of things I can do with my left arm. I can't, like, lift luggage, but I'll check a bag to New England. So unless something happens in New England, I will be there for the Titans game second week of the season.
You have one of those roller bags that, like, rolls on all four wheels and you could spin it in any direction?
Yeah, but I still have to check it because I can't lift it above my head.
Yeah, and who's taking it off the baggage claim for you? Is Aaron traveling?
Well, I can
you?
Do that one-handed. As long as I don't have to lift it above my head, I'm good.
Pack light. All those black clothes are light.
I am going to pack light.
John McClain with us. John, Khalil Mack traded to Chicago. How did Reggie McKenzie and John Gruden let it get to this point?
Well, that's all John Gruden, not Reggie McKenzie. And, their number one picks were terrible under Al Davis near the end. And then they drafted Derek Carr, Khalil Mack, Amari Cooper with McKenzie. And Gruden is obviously in charge. And what John Gruden, I'll guarantee, is looking at is Las Vegas. Yeah, any new guy comes in charge of a roster is not going to like half of that roster. So he's, I'm sure, thinking, okay, we give Mack all his money. He'll be 29 when we're playing in Vegas. And because I'm a genius, I can make sure we have two great number one picks. And maybe they will. Maybe they'll draft Hall of Famers. So I can understand it from their perspective. They're throwing in a towel in Oakland, gearing up for Vegas. But last year, Mack was healthy. And they still were terrible. And it depends on what they do with those picks. And, of course, it depends on Mack. So if I'm a Raiders fan right now, I am so bummed because I know what they're thinking. They're thinking, Las Vegas, here we come. We're just going to play out the string these last two seasons. And the players have to be upset, too. And what I don't understand is how Bears general manager Ryan Pace got them to throw in a second-round pick. So it's not for two ones. You know, you're giving them a two, so that takes away from the two ones.
Yeah. And from Chicago's standpoint, they're betting on a known quantity and saying it's worth more than any potential risk that's involved in this trade.
Vic Fangio, longtime defensive coordinator, is a proponent of 3-4. He's got his number one pick, Roquan Smith, to play inside. He's got Khalil Mack to play outside, probably on the weak side where he can rush the passer. Mack should like it because he'd been going back and forth between end and outside linebacker with the Raiders. So he is in a defense tailored to his specialty, which is quickness and rushing the passer. And it all of a sudden makes the NFC North top to bottom the best division in the NFL.
How are we so conditioned? How does it exist in the league? And I'm guilty of it too, that we value the draft pick so much. Because I had a random generator I sent these guys that somebody tweeted out that, of course, I can't find now. But it'll give you two first-round picks, names from back-to-back drafts over the last however many years. And you hit go and you look at those two names versus Khalil Mack, and that's not even what they got because they're giving back a second. And it is almost impossible to come up with a combination where you say, I'd take getting these two guys as rookies over Khalil Mack. Yet, the general sense is, even with getting a second back, that it's incredibly steep. Why do we think that way?
I think because we're so conditioned that draft choices are vital to an NFL team's success, which is not the case anymore because of free agency. Obviously, you don't want to go 2 or 3 years without a one. Some teams will go 2 years out of the one. The Bears getting that two back was big for them because they had traded, I think, they were, something was still part of the Trubisky trade. So they're hurting on draft choices just like the Saints have. Both of them are going all in. That's great. Don't blame New Orleans at all because of Drew Brees' age. But the reason the Bears can pull this off, they're not going to have to pay Trubisky for a couple of years. And it's not the money we should look at. It's the percentage of the cap. Peter King and his thing that he does for NBC and Pro Football Talk broke it all down as percentage of cap and projected caps, and it shows why it was an easy thing for the Bears to do. And they could have done it in Oakland. They didn't do it because of talent in Oakland. I think they did it because of money and the fact that they're looking ahead.
John McClain is with us. John, Mike Vrabel makes his coaching debut for the regular season on Sunday. What have you thought of the job that Vrabel's done so far?
Well, I've seen it from afar, so I just haven't paid that close of attention. But I'll say this. I've never seen a defensive coordinator become a head coach and he didn't run the ball like crazy. I think Derrick Henry is a good fantasy pick for people. I think he's going to get the ball a lot. There's got to be a fine line. Matt LaFleur comes from Gary Kubiak, Kyle Shanahan, and Sean McVay. And you look at that offense they ran last year with the Rams, I'm sure that's what he wants to do. He utilizes the backs in the passing game a lot. Mm-hmm. McVay likes to do that. That means Henry, Deion Lewis, they'll be throwing the ball to the backs quite a bit. And I can't wait to see the offense. I don't know as much about the defense and what Dean Pease is going to do, but I'm pumped about the offense. And I also think that Vrabel, just knowing him the way I do, will be aggressive. I don't think he'll be conservative on third and one. I think you'll see him going for some fourth and ones. I think people will like it because I think he's kind of the opposite of Mike Mularkey.
Also, and Paul weigh on this, and John, I'm interested. We saw a lot of five-man fronts in Houston, and they're combining that now with the Dean Pease defense. I'm interested to see how those two things come together and form what will be the Titans defense this season.
Well, it depends on the talent, of course. They are a game plan team. They don't go out there and say, okay, this is what we do, beat us. They base their game plan on both sides of the ball on the talent and strength of the opponent. So there's going to be times now. I know this with Vrabel. I'm not sure about Pease. Maybe he'll incorporate this, that you might see one lineman on the field in a passing situation and a lot of linebackers. And they did that here, and they'll do that, I'm sure, up there as well, as they try to confuse as well as attack.
My question kind of is, like, I love the sound of the game-to-game matchups and everything of that, and attacking a weakness. My question, particularly at the beginning of the season, when we don't know much about teams, is what if they incorrectly identify a weakness, and then how do they come off of that? Or what if somebody's attacking their weakness effectively? And those are things you need to see happen along the way.
I'll give you an example, Paul. This is something I saw one time when I was in Las Vegas, but the best team to bet on in the second half of games are the Patriots. They're the best second half team in football. I asked Bill O'Brien about that. He said, if you're going to make adjustments at halftime that need to be made, you're making them in the first quarter. You don't wait till halftime. And so I guarantee you, they're as they are going through with their game plan, and they're going to be adjusting because that's all Mike knows. I mean, he was with Belichick. He's with O'Brien. They'll start adjusting in the first quarter to see if their plan of attack is working, but also part of the opposition is trying to figure out what kind of plan of attack the Titans are going to have. I think they're going to beat Miami. I don't think Miami's going to be very good, and I think the Titans are, and I think they're going to go down there and win the game.
This game, to me, Hutt, it very simply, very early, before looking at a lot of stuff, boils down to this. Can you get Tannehill off his timing with the guys you have available to rush?
I think it's that, and it also comes down to how does Mariota and that offensive line handle the blitz? Because with a new system, defensive coordinators will blitz that quarterback to death.
Very good point.
That will happen on Sunday. John Gruden, in his first offseason with the Raiders, just going through some of the bullet points here, he has now built the NFL's oldest roster by average age of 27.4 years. He's traded Khalil Mack. They have Martavis Bryant for, what, 2 months? And then trade him after, what, they traded a third-round pick for him to Pittsburgh?
Three.
They cut him before week one. They take Colton Miller, the offensive tackle, over Derwin James. And he is bringing this old-school mentality of throwback football. He's showing his team an offense film from the 70s. What do you make of the coach that's leading the Raiders and taking him to Vegas?
I believe that it's radical. He's lucky he's got a good quarterback. One of the problems Gruden had when he played is he wanted an older, experienced quarterback. Rich Gannon in Oakland, Brad Johnson in Tampa. Now he's got one who has more talent throwing the ball than either one of those guys. But he is rough, really tough on quarterback, a complicated offense, plays that are 15 words long, which is preposterous. And trying to implement that, he's going to look like a genius, a mad scientist, or he's going to look like an over-the-hill bum.
John, the NFL just can't escape the anthem issue. The moment that we're not talking about it as much, Nike decides to make Colin Kaepernick their spokesperson. How do you think the NFL feels about that decision with their partner in Nike doing that and bringing this back up again?
I'm sure that Nike told the NFL what it was doing out of respect because they've got a contract through 2028. I think it was brilliant marketing on Nike's part. Nike has always pushed the envelope, and this time they pushed it farther across the table than ever. And I think that Colin Kaepernick is going to go down like John Carlos and Tommy Smith, and he's going to be 40 years from now. People will be talking about his protesting. And right now, every talk show in the country, every non-sports talk show is talking about this. And as a company, you want people talking about your product. It is brilliant.
I'll tell you this, though. I don't disagree with anything you're saying there, John. But I'm on the Tennesseans website right now, and you know what the second story on the sports page is? When will Tennessee's Nike contract end? And you know why they're writing that story? Because people in Knoxville and around the state are asking that question because we know where they stand on this side of the quote-unquote argument.
People in the South are more conservative, and the people that get mad are quicker to write than the ones who would be quicker to praise. But the bottom line is everybody's talking about Nike.
Is Le'Veon Bell going to show up this week?
He better be there for practice tomorrow. He could skip the walkthrough on Monday. But if he's not there Wednesday, then wouldn't it be something if James Conner, the rookie who has taken his place from Pitt, rushed for 150 yards and they beat the Browns?
He's a good player. Yeah. I mean, Titans didn't do very well in preseason game number three, but we saw a lot of James Conner, and I liked him before that, and I try not to put too much into that. But he's clearly a big part of the plan for next year. So if Le'Veon Bell wants to accelerate that, I think they're probably ready for it. He's going to show up. I mean, what else are you going to do?
$866,000 he'd miss. Big check start this week. He makes, I think, $14 million. So I believe he'll show, but I thought that last year about Dwayne Brown, the Texans. He didn't. He forced a trade to the Seahawks for second and third round picks. And I think we all agree this is Bell's last season in Pittsburgh.
John, I can't help but read into Doug Peterson's demeanor over the weekend where Nick Foles is going to start for the Eagles on Thursday night, and Peterson is not happy about talking about it. That tells me that he doesn't like what he's seen from Foles at all, even behind the scenes this preseason.
Tells me the pressure looks like it's getting to him. That way he handled the question from the reporter about Foles this week was just not a good look for Doug Peterson.
And then the next day he gave it up.
Yep.
So what's?
I think sometimes it's just ego, the fact that it got out in the national media, and he wanted to blame the local guys. Peterson ought to be smarter than that. I think, you know, he's the toast town because they won the Super Bowl, their first championship since 60. But he needs to lighten up a little bit.
What's
if
the
he's
pressure,
that way
though?
Publicly, how is he behind the scenes?
What you said the pressure's mounting. What pressure?
pressure to defend his title.
I see, but if he just won a Super Bowl with the quarterback who's going to start the game, I don't know why he's having an issue answering a question about the quarterback who hasn't been cleared for contact.
I think maybe it's a little bit because
Wentz was not going to play. Why anybody would even ask the question is ridiculous.
Right.
He hadn't been cleared to come back. If you're not cleared, you're not going to step in, even on a Sunday game. And so I think the Eagles weren't very good in preseason. Foles wasn't very good.
That's
and I think Peterson's worried about his team.
Yep.
I think that they
good it's at home.
Outside, we're starting to think, hey, you know, Foles maybe had that glorious run. John, you pointed this out. Yeah. But outside of that glorious run, there's no reason to expect, based on his overall track record, that he's going to be that guy again. And, you know, if they're without Wentz the first, whatever, 2, 3, 4 weeks, it could be in a hole as a result of it.
Remember, that glorious run, Paul, was 2 games.
Yeah, I do think it's interesting that, and I thought this was maybe initiated by Malcolm Jenkins, who hated a Super Bowl champion sign. It wasn't a small thing. It was like a painted wall above a doorway in the Eagles locker room. And they took it down. He didn't like it. He didn't want them in the locker room reflecting on what they did last year. He wanted them thinking about what they needed to do this year. And Peterson and whoever else heard it and agreed. And they repainted that wall.
John, thank you as always. We will preview week one with you on Friday. Tell me this, though. Who do you have Thursday night between the Falcons and Eagles?
I took the Eagles because they're at home, only because they're at home.
Should be fun. Football's
here. I wonder if anybody will be having a horse poop lunch or dinner in Philadelphia as they celebrate the beginning of the year defending the crown.
They may be eating a lot of crow.
Thank you, John.
Thank you, guys.
John McClain joins us twice a week here on the show.
Eagles could, I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised to see Eagles drop off. A lot of it, to me, depends on Wentz. And look, if I'm not convinced that Deshaun Watson is what he was in the brief window we saw of him, then why am I convinced that Carson Wentz? I think I've said this before. Who's the third one? Garoppolo.
Mm-hmm.
I clearly believe in Garoppolo. You know that. But
mm-hmm.
Garoppolo, Wentz, and Deshaun Watson. Do all three of them turn into fantastic quarterbacks based on their early performances the way we think? Maybe, but what do the odds suggest? The odds tell us at least one of them.
Just one
guys,
of them, probably.
Yeah. I'd say at least one won't be what we thought. Probably two.